Good morning to you, Jamie. How are you going?
I'm going well, thank you, Michael. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. It's an ever-changing landscape. First of all, we'll start with the new lockdown restrictions in Victoria. Now, racing has done a wonderful job throughout the first lockdown period to continue racing. So we would assume that that will be the case during this period, but during that first lockdown, we had some really strict restrictions on our participants, none more so than the jockeys, with the gold team not being able to head to track work, head to trials. Is Racing Victoria now looking at reintroducing similar restrictions in this lockdown period?
Oh, Michael, we're looking at all our protocols again, and as you say, they've remained in force and they've been very effective with the assistance of the participants and everyone involved, so it's been fantastic. It's important we don't drop the ball now, so our protocols will remain in place. So far as the individuals go, we'll be discussing this morning on whether or not there needs to be any other action taken in relation to the green jockeys, whether they'll continue to ride in jump outs at certain tracks or not. Their decisions will take during the day, but I guess the more immediate one, Michael, is that we've taken the decision that as from the Sandown meeting today, owners will not be able to attend that meeting. So fundamentally, there's two matters in relation to the owners. First is that any owner who lives within a lockdown area, so that being the metropolitan area or the Mitchell Shire, they won't be able to attend any race meeting across the state. And the second is that wherever there's a race meeting within a lockdown area, so again, the metropolitan area and the Mitchell Shire, no owners will be able to attend those meetings.
Yep. Yeah, that's fully expected and understood. Owners who are outside the lockdown period in country Victoria, if they live there and the meeting's in the country area, are they still able to attend?
Yeah, so if owners reside outside the lockdown area and the race meeting's also outside the lockdown area, it's a matter for the club ultimately, but we're willing to allow them to attend provided the appropriate measures remain in place, Michael, and those, of course, are that the owners must pre-register with the club. There'll be limits on the numbers able to attend at any one time, and whilst on course, they must adhere to the distancing and the segregation requirements.
As far as the jockeys are concerned, they've done such a wonderful job. As you mentioned, this lockdown period is only for the greater part of Melbourne and the Mitchell Shire area. With those jockeys, will they still be, or would it be prudent to allow them to still attend track work and jump outs as what the relaxing of those stricter protocols has allowed, however, maybe stop them from going to Flemington, which is in the middle of the hotspot?
Well, they're all the discussions we'll be having this morning, Michael, and during the day. We have a group set up that meets at the end of today, and decisions will be hopefully arrived at that point. But rest assured, our primary consideration is making sure that we offer the appropriate levels of protection and safety to those participants themselves and the general community. So we'll be guided by the government guidelines. We'll work within those, but at the same time, we'll do our utmost to ensure that we can continue racing and continue racing to everyone's benefit.
Do you think that would be the most prudent action, though, especially with Flemington? And how concerned are you about that Flemington area?
Well, you have to be conscious of it, Michael. You know, you can't just ignore it. So you've got to remember training's taking place there as we speak, and Flemington Racecourse, the VRC, have in place a firm set of protocols regarding even track work every morning, and provided everyone, and by that we do mean everyone, adheres strictly to those protocols, they should build the level of safety that we hope would see us through this period.
How many people would be at Flemington Racecourse from stable hands, track work riders, trainers of a normal work morning?
Oh, that's a very difficult number for me to answer, Michael, but well in excess of 1,000.
1,000. And every single one is temperature tested on entry?
Yes, there's a strict requirement for anyone entering the facility that they must have a temperature test. But also it's important that people remain conscious of their own responsibilities, and that is wherever they don't feel well or they're displaying any symptoms of COVID, that they don't go to work, that they notify the appropriate people within racing, so that in some cases that's their trainer who then notifies RV. With others, it's notifying Racing Victoria directly. So you know, we're asking that everyone really focus during this period and adhere to the protocols that are in place and act responsibly to protect not only themselves, but all those around them.
With that being such a hotbed at the moment, and we know what's going on with the towers who are in Flemington, which are situated in Flemington, and I would imagine a lot of those workers at Flemington, be trackwork riders and stable hands, would probably live close to that Flemington racecourse in that vicinity. Has there been more work from Racing Victoria being done and more specific protocols put in place about those workers? Because as far as racing's concerned, that is probably where the biggest question is at the moment.
Outside of the lockdown towers, Michael, effectively what the government's done is put us back to stage three, which is where we were during April and May. And we showed during that time that we could continue to operate, and we did so successfully. And so we're effectively in the position we were back during April and May. And as I've said, it provided everyone really concentrates and focuses on good adherence to the protocols, we're confident that we'll be able to continue on in the same manner we did during those months.
Now that we're all in lockdown, majority of the jockeys are themselves now in lockdown, except for the race riding. Gyms are shut, swimming pools are shut. Will you review the earlier decision to reduce the weights from the 1st of August? Will they go back to what the pre-COVID or the COVID lockdown weight system was?
Well, we've always said that's open. That date where we were aiming for 1 August was open to us considering the landscape at the time, Michael. So during today, that's another matter we will be discussing.
The border situation, have we got more clarity on what that means for those trainers who are stuck pretty in close proximity to the border? This is a little snippet of what Donna Gaskin had to say yesterday, who has her training in Victoria, yet her house of residence where she lives is in New South Wales in Moama.
So we had to relocate back over to Victoria, and we've had a lot of friends, thank goodness, that have been good, and we've been staying with them. But after a while, you start to wear your welcome out because we've got two young kids as well. So trying to relocate back to Victoria, and then you sort of end up having to pay for two places. We're not going to get any sort of compensation, so you've got to make do what you can. And it's not just a burden with us, like financially, it's also a lot of our owners. This COVID's also struck them down pretty hard. It's all a roll-on effect, and it goes back to us.
Has there been anything from Racing Victoria to try and help those trainers who were stuck in that area?
Look, Michael, we're in the hands of the government fundamentally in what we're able to do. Of course, we will do our utmost to support any of our participants, as we always do. But our understanding at the moment is there's no restriction on people entering Victoria. The restriction is on people exiting Victoria. And the New South Wales government's put in place a permit application system for people, and obviously people would be well aware that overnight a significant number of people that live in that cross-border scenario have successfully applied for permits. So we'd encourage any of our participants that are in a Donna Gaskin situation that they liaise with us. We get an understanding. At the moment, we still have a restriction on trainers who come from interstate. If they travel interstate, they're required to do the 14-day isolation. But they're all matters that continue to be under consideration. But for a lot of people, such as the horse transport companies and the like, we'd encourage them to set about obtaining a permit at the earliest possible stage to enable them to continue to operate.
Mitch Beer mentioned in his chat with Gareth Hall yesterday that he had inquired about applying for a temporary training licence here in Victoria. Of course, his stables are in Albury, but he was told that you can only do that during the spring carnival because he was looking to get some boxes in Wodonga. Is that the case?
Oh, Michael, there's visiting trainers' licences. We have people obtain visiting trainers' licences from time to time, but again, that's something that we need to work at within the restrictions that are in place, and we need to consider whether or not people are able to cross that border. So if we have a well-established protocol where horses from interstate come, they're placed in the care of another trainer, they race under their original trainer's name, but they're cared for during their time in Victoria by a Victorian licensed trainer, and the horses are able to stay for extended periods of time,
So as it is, no changes to the racing protocols, no changes to how racing is operated other than the owners, but there could be more news on the jockeys later today.
Yes, Michael, that's correct.
All right, let's talk about the Aquanita situation. The press release from Racing Victoria yesterday is that 81 horses are now considered to have been unfairly treated and doped up from the inquiries. And according to Racing Victoria, the owners of those 81 horses now need to show cause as to why those horses are not disqualified from races, including Politeness, who won a Group 1, and a few other horses, Black and Benton major races as well. How long a process and difficult a process has this been, Jamie? And is Racing Victoria likely to try and recoup that prize money if these horses indeed are disqualified?
Michael, just before you, just before I answer that, I've just been advised that there's around 400 staff at training every morning at Flemington, so I should correct that, so between 400 and 500. In relation to the Aquanita matter, it was a complex matter, and I think anyone who's been part of the listening to the proceedings before both the RAD board and VCAP would understand the complexities associated with it. So it has been a very complex matter for the stewards to consider. Of course, that's not been helped by not long after the expiration of the appeal period for the VCAT decisions expiring, the onset of COVID closely followed that, which has meant that it's been complex to get people in a position where they've been had sufficient time to give proper consideration to the matter. So yes, it has been complex. It's been a very thorough piece of work undertaken by the stewards, and as a consequence of that, yesterday we announced the stewards' position in relation to the matter. And as you said, the owners of 81 horses, the managing owners, have been written to and asked to show cause why their horses ought not be disqualified. Now, the reason that that's taken place, Michael, is that we believe that's the fair thing to do to the owners, given that the rule that the stewards are considered this matter under is one that provides them with some discretion. So, again, wherever discretion's available to the stewards, we think it's fair that people have the right to be heard, and so we've gone down that path. We don't expect to conclude the matter. Obviously, the show cause submission period concludes on the 10th of August, and there'll be further considerations, and it depends on the complexity and the level of detail in some of the submissions made as to how quickly the stewards will be able to arrive at their position. But once they've concluded the matter, it's at that point that the RV board and Giles Thompson, our CE, will turn their mind over to the actual prize money recovery process. We think that's the appropriate time to do it. And so effectively, there won't be any decisions made in relation to prize money recovery until maybe 3 months or longer down the path. But the one thing is that should any horse be disqualified, Michael, the owners and anyone connected, so the trainers and jockeys of any horses that would have benefited had that horse not taken place in the race, they'll have the adjustments made to their prize money.
Okay, in the situation of the Group 1 win with Politeness, both the trainers of the runner-up and the third horse, the Hopes and Darren Weir, have both been disqualified themselves. So what would the situation be there? The owner's entitled to that prize money, but I would assume that those trainers would not be getting any of that prize money if it's redistributed.
Yes, Michael, the rules are quite clear that... And this is me paraphrasing, that a disqualified person can't gain financially from racing during the period of their disqualification. So if the decisions are taken during the period of disqualification, those people wouldn't be eligible for any prize money.
So a lot of these horses that are facing disqualification, the races are some back to 7-8 years ago. Is it... do you think, in your opinion, it's going to be able for any of that prize money to be recouped from owners, or would there be a situation from those who are still licensed, i.e. trainers or jockeys, to be more likely to have to pay back any of that prize money?
I think we'll look at each case on its merits, Michael. I think, I, far as I'm aware, I think the furthest back one is the 6th of June in 2010, or 26th of June in 2010. So, you know, we are in excess of 10 years, and that's one factor that people would have to take into consideration, but would look at everything in the round, and as I say, that's a decision that the RV board and Giles, our chief executive, will look to take at the appropriate time.
So Racing Victoria would be more, I suppose, comfortable with the fact that those who they deem should have won the race will get paid out. It's not that forefront of the mind of Racing Victoria that if they can't recoup the money from those owners who were originally paid back, Racing Victoria's, I believe, already made provisions within its budget for that hit. Is that correct?
Yeah, our primary consideration is making sure that the right thing is done, and the right thing to do, of course, is to redistribute prize money where appropriate, Michael. So that's the first and foremost thing. And yes, we've been conscious of the potential to arrive in that situation. And as I say, it's always been potential up until the stewards arrived at their decision, and we've made the adequate and appropriate provisions, we believe.
One last quick one before I let you go, just on the whips. When will we see the introduction of these new whip rules? Is that the 1st of August?
That's what we're working towards, Michael, and I know that there's been some media comment that the VJA have accepted the proposal. I must admit, the proposals I've seen in the media, I don't think are the final proposals, so I'm not sure exactly which proposals the VJA is referring to, but what I do know is that Robert Cram and Matt Hyland, on behalf of the VJA, have been in dialogue and looking to achieve a position that they believe to be appropriate, and that's a position which is aimed at driving greater compliance with the rules, Michael, as we go forward. And I think, you know, it's encouraging to see in the media that some of the jockeys themselves are feeling somewhat frustrated with some of their peers and the manner in which they're not abiding by the rules.
Jamie, appreciate your time this morning. We'll wait to see what comes out of meeting today in regards to the jockeys and if any further restrictions are placed on their track work or jump outs later today. But appreciate your time.
You're welcome, Michael.
Jamie Steer, the Chief of Integrity Racing Victoria, will take